Acuna for life! Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! The Braves win, and that was the good news. The bad news is, can we talk about the bad news? The bad news is, we don't have a closer. Once again last night, Raisel Iglesias, Mike, he let us down and put us in a situation where I was a little bit nervous. I'm like, okay, are they about to blow this game? Two outs in the eighth. He gets pulled. Dylan Lee comes in. And I said to you guys a few weeks ago, I think Dylan Lee's going to get some chances to close. That's what happened last night. But, Mike, we don't have a closer.
Yeah, Dylan, when you have two, you don't have one. It's like a quarterback in the NFL. He did get his second save of the year, our first save since May 16th. Isn't that crazy? That's like, you got to go back to like the Boston.
What's the date?
May 16th.
That's crazy.
You got to go back to like the Boston Bean Eaters, of which John Fricke had season tickets, to see that kind of, called ineptitude or a strange streak where you don't have a save. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. The other thing last night was, and I was tweeting about it, Ozzie was just, yeah, he had a little flair to center.
Who?
Ozzie Albies.
Oh.
Pop out to short with bases loaded, nobody out. Runner on third, one out, pops out to short. Some of the most feeble at-bats from Ozzie. You know how I feel about the catcher. You know, it's just frustrating, man. It's just, this team still doesn't pass the eye test, but hey, take a win. Problem is, the Phillies are now the team in first place, so we're 10.5 out, six back in the wild card.
Swelly was good last night. I mean, he's been really good as of late, and we desperately needed it. But the reality is, Ronald Acuna's carrying us right now.
Big time.
Can he get some help? Can somebody else just step up a little bit? And, Mike, I had the audacity. Somebody had the audacity today to send me a tweet with all of these spectacular numbers that Sean Murphy has in situational baseball. Why haven't we seen any of that? Where is that at when we need it? Ronald Acuna, guys, is doing everything. And the crazy thing is he made his debut May 23rd. This dude is not only going to be an all-star, he may be the best outfielder in baseball right now.
Right.
And he just got back. So with all of that said, Mike's right. Take the dub. We'll see what happens tonight. Look, the Mets, they are having problems against us. And I'm loving it. I did not expect us to be undefeated against the Mets, which we are. But Ronald Acuna Jr., Acuna for life. 2-for-5, solo home run. Matt Olson, 2-for-5. Raleigh, 2-for-4. That's the meat of the lineup. That's what's gotta happen every night, Mike. We need Olson and Raleigh to start slugging.
And again, and if you want Sean Murphy to stay on this Braves team and not trade him for assets, you have no idea. And I'm sorry, you're a nerd. You're a freaking analytics nerd.
Nerd.
Okay. Here's the numbers: 2 RBIs for the month. Okay. Average 200. Since we can't use average anymore, OPS 514.
It's pathetic.
Matt Olson and Acuna, and last night Riley. Riley hopefully is showing some more signs, but Olson and Acuna are the only Braves, mostly Acuna, who've been raking. I can't wait to get Sean Murphy off this roster because his at-bats are right up there with Ozzie's. And Ozzie's my favorite freaking Brave.
Struggling.
And I'm just letting him go, come on, man, you got to come through. And these at-bats, I mean, it's like watching root canal, man.
He's struggling. There's no doubt about it. The Dylan Lee thing is interesting, guys. Now, look, I said I don't trust anybody on the back half of this bullpen right now. But he was damn good last night. And I said he's been good. I just want to put that in perspective because when you start looking at Lee, his last 12 appearances, Mike, that means him out of the bullpen, 17 strikeouts, one walk, 4 hits. Every time he's been out of the bullpen, that's 12 times we're calling on Dylan Lee to come out of the bullpen. Mike, that's 13 2/3 innings. That's really impressive. So I understand why Snit said, go to Lee. Right. And they did last night. I don't know, guys, if this is going to be a long-term deal or they're going to continue to try to work Iglesias into that closer role or back into that closer role. But last night was a microcosm again of what's been going on with this team. Hey, we're playing well enough. We got a one-run lead. And you're going, they're not going to blow this. Luckily, they didn't. But Schwelly goes 7 innings, Mike, and I thought for him, if you don't understand this, guys, this is what we were talking about when we said let's keep Max Fried, or for that matter, Charlie Morton. Where are these innings coming from? And all of a sudden now you look up and Schwellenbach has pitched more innings than anybody else in the league. Over 103 innings, Mike, this kid has pitched for us, and all of a sudden now he's an innings eater and he's going 7 almost every outing. Right. So that's the kind of stuff we're going to need if we're going to make a real run. But listen, 10 games, we're not looking at it. We just got to keep winning and hopefully we can find our way as we get into July. And this is single digits, Mike, and doable once we get into July.
Right. Need Strider to go kick some butt. Had 8 strikeouts last time he saw the Mets. Obviously a great outing, the one that kind of made us feel okay. The worm is turning for Spencer. He's got a handle on it. So hopefully he can deal tonight. Braves, by the way, -150. So Vegas likes the Braves to get it done tonight. Mets are really kind of like wobble, certainly against the Braves. Last night it was a grind. We left a ton of guys on base, but the bullpen, as much as we complained about it, you know, Iglesias aside, was able to handle the job, and a good job by Schwellenbach. Just got to keep it in the park. You know, I just hated the 2-out single and then the 2-run home run. But that aside, certainly, as you said, all the things with Schwelly, checking the boxes, more and more experience. Still love to see Alex get another starter, some more bullpen help. It's a lot to ask, Still want to see a better upgrade at shortstop, with all due respect for Nick Allen.
Okay, so you want an everyday player, you want a starting pitcher, and you want bullpen help.
Yeah, now you can't get all that. You can't. He'll try.
2 out of 3.
Yeah, he can try. But I know that we're getting Jerks and Profar up here in a minute, and he can't get here soon enough. That's going to be a big boost.
It is, because that position has been a black hole. We've got no production, for the most part, out of that position. We were talking about Ronald Acuna Jr. Here's the solo home run, guys. Braves win 3-2 last night. We'll see what happens tonight, but this guy's been unbelievable.
Ronald gives this a ride to center field. How far is it going to go? Far enough to make it 2-0. Acuna has done it again.
Curveball here you're going to see from Blackburn right in the middle of the plate. We talked about last time Ronald jumping on a first pitch two-seam fastball last game, and then his first at-bat this game, the breaking ball sitting right in the middle of the plate.
What I love right now is this guy's come back, and he's being aggressive. And he's not sitting back, and he's not waiting. He's going after pitches. And the best part about last night was, after the game, he was asked about being booed by Mets fans, and he was like, I enjoy it. It gives me confidence. That's the kind of guy I want. That's what we need. Not the, we're on the road. Keep booing me, because I'm going to keep doing my dance as I hit these home runs along second base and the third baseline. Mike, this guy is playing with so much confidence right now. Can that rub off a little bit?
That's the swagger. I mean, look, Chipper Jones made his career killing the Mets, right? That's named one of his kids Shea, you know, and won the MVP, because the New York media is like, wow, this Chipper Jones is legit. And Larry, and he just responded and just kill him. So I love it. Yes, that's what we need, swagger, attitude. I hope we would rub up on Acuna's little buddy Albies. Not really the case of late, but, man, just if we can ever get Ozzie Albies and Michael Harris hitting the baseball. I've given up all hope with Murphy to be anything more than a 220 guy. That's what he is. But, I mean,
who?
Sean Murphy.
Oh, okay.
But I do certainly believe in I was killing Olsen. I thought it was deserved. But Olsen's on a 24-game reaching base streak. This guy's got things cooking now himself. Come on. If you can get those other three positions in this lineup to start to produce on a regular basis, then anything is surmountable. Certainly a 6-game wild card, if not the division.
It is doable, but we got to keep winning
series. But you can't have like half of your team really have an OPS of sub-500. I mean, and that's it. You got two guys that are raking, and the rest of the team is batting .204 for the month.
Yeah, that is the fundamental issue. And look, I'd love to tell you the All-Star break is going to do us some good, but we've got to stay in this before we get to the All-Star
break. Right now, Acuna's going to be in the All-Star game, which will be electric for the Braves that night.
And deserving. I mean, dude, to step back into this thing, and I'm going to miss the first 2 months of the season. Pretty much, and then I'm going to come back and set this thing on fire. And that's what he's done. .396 average, guys, .500 on base. Nobody in the majors has a higher on base percentage than Ronald Acuna Jr., Acuna for life. And then Mike talked about the OPS, which is slugging it on base. It's always been that number that people in baseball really care about. It's the true indicator of what kind of hitter you are. Over .1200. Nobody on this team is even at .1100, right. 1,000. There's only one other guy that's close to that. And again, we're talking about, you know, Olsen or Riley. It's kind of unbelievable what he's been doing. That's through the first 28 games, by the way. That's 28 games. That is not 60 games. He's come back in 28 games and had this kind of impact. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you're thinking about the Braves, because as much as we're winning right now and it feels good and the Mets are struggling, they've lost 9 of 10. They're kind of going through an identity check right now, which is great, because maybe this is the slippage we need, and Mike, you said it. And then here come the Phillies this weekend. Handle this, come back home, and let's see what happens with the Phillies.
Right. And again, the other guy with nice OPS, Drake Baldwin, who should be in there. Okay? Murph should be the every other day guy. I'm so sick of Murph, man. The guy's like, what did you mean? He's not any good. Okay? Yeah, I mean, go pull some runners in scoring position from, like, what, 2023. Maybe that pans out. I remember him getting ice cold in September 23.
Yeah, I do, too.
You can look that up, too, nerds.
Nerds!
Give me some Drake Baldwin. Let this kid figure it out with a regular gig. Thank you.
Well, the only way you get better is to play every day. And when we start talking about, you know, having two catchers, that's the fundamental norm.
And I understand the
That's the norm.
Right. I understand that.
That's not the issue. Right. The issue is you're sitting him out thinking about righty-lefty matchups when, in fact, he's better. It doesn't matter righty-lefty.
Right.
Let him play. If anything, Mike, it should be based upon, you know what, he plays a week. Sean Murphy, you get a day. He gets a day rest, and then he plays the next week. That's what real catchers do. When you're a dude, Pudge Rodriguez didn't play every other. He played all the time, got a day off, and continued to play. And I could name eight other guys that played that position that were dudes. That's how this goes. But the Braves are deciding, well, you know what, he'll play righty-lefty situation. You're absolutely right. But the only way you get better is if you are thrown into the fire. Right. And that's why some guys are like, well, I don't know how good he is. Because he's not playing every day.
Come on, man. Just stop. Again, I'll never understand this. You Sean Murphy people, we got to straighten you out. Because Drake, again, he's got 10 more hits with, three less games, the OPS, everything else. He produces, guys. Yes, he went through a little bit of a swoon, just like we saw with Austin Riley his rookie year. But as you, Carl, just laid it out. Let him play through it.
All right, man. We got plenty more to dive into. Tony Gwynn Jr., our Odyssey MLB insider, is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Stay there. But when we come back, NBA is heating up. And what are the Hawks thinking about doing? We'll tell you when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are going to be live tomorrow at State Farm Arena bringing you the latest as we get ready for the NBA draft. Mike, right now we have, picks 13 and 22 in the first round.
What are we going to do with it, Joe?
What are we going to do?
We're going to hold on to it. We're going to move up. We spent some time yesterday talking about the big man. Is the big man that can help you along with maybe getting a veteran big man in here? You know, I presume that Capel is not an option. He's a free agent.
Yeah.
But we got to get some size in the front court. Some folks feel that, we can do it without getting the big name or big ticket. I don't want a washed up big name guy. I want to get, a nice guy on the way up in his career. But I still think that's very expensive, whether it's a Naz Reid, Miles Turner. They're most likely going to stay where they are anyway. But I just keep putting those names out as an example.
Yeah, no. I think those are good examples. We don't know how this thing shakes out. I mean,
I'd like a Pascal Siakam clone.
Okay.
If one existed in the world.
I agree. What about Porzingis? Are you interested there?
Yes, sir.
Because the Hawks apparently are a team that may be interested. We told you the Celtics were going to look different, and they are. So they trade Drew Holiday to the Trailblazers for Anfernee Simons, that is. And Simons can play, by the way. He's been in Portland, lost. Nobody really watches the Trailblazers. He gives you 20 a night. He is a guy that's going to help with the scoring with Tatum being out. But, Mike, you give up one of the best defenders, Boston, in Holiday. He's been an all-NBA defender. It's one of the reasons why they went and got him, experienced vet, because the money that's involved. And now you look at Porzingis and you say, all right, well, they're about to potentially trade Porzingis. Guys, there are a ton of teams that are interested. Hawks fans, would you be interested in Porzingis? Adding Porzingis to what we currently have.
Yeah, I'd do that. I would. Plus, that's the guy that can also, the big man that can move out and hit the three, right? Everything you're kind of looking for in that sort of positionless. Now, does that do enough about protecting the rim, though? No,
because he's not that dude.
That's not his thing.
But he can shoot threes and, help create more offense. Either way, that rumor is out there. We've got more Hawks stuff that we're going to hear from Anse Sala, the general manager of Hawks, as he spoke to the media yesterday, coming up here in the Daily Download. Also want to mention this. Tyrese Halliburton, pitchers are out there, had the surgery. Most of these guys, there's no waiting now, right? It used to be like he'll have it in a week. Like, he got hurt 2 days ago. He has already had the surgery, and they're going to start rehab. But he took that picture, Mike, in the hospital and said that he would do it all over again, meaning playing hurt. My guess, I don't know if anybody's ever going to admit it, is that calf strain
affected, right?
Yes, put more pressure on that Achilles. And it probably, if he had to do it all over again, would you risk it? And he said yes.
Well, then you lose. I mean, look, you're playing for a championship, which is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but then you're down for a year. But his stakes said, real athletes don't take themselves out, cha-cha. So that was the argument we had about Kirk Cousins yesterday late in the show, if you missed it. But, yeah, I think that, look, I respect him giving it a go. But it's just how many times have we seen one thing on one part of the body? Next year, it's another thing. It's just kind of like the operation game or, like leg bone connected to the shin bone. Either way, he's kaput. It's a wide-open Eastern Conference. Giving the Pacers' loss is the Eastern Conference's game. No Jason Tatum, you know, Dame Lillard out for the Bucks. You know, a lot of teams kind of in flux right now. The Celtics moving pieces, as we said, with Porzingis on the chopping block, and they just traded Drew Holiday. So there's a lot of opportunities if the Hawks can thread the needle, right, and get the right impact pieces in here, and I presume without getting into a luxury tax, April.
I don't think they have to. And by the way, the current champ is not in the luxury tax. Matter of fact, they're not in any of these aprons because they did it the right way.
They drafted organically correctly.
That's right. And with the trades they made for, you've got a guy in Shea, Mike, who's not making any money right now. I mean, compared to what some of these average NBA players are making, when you're talking about $30, $40, $50 million, Shea's not even close. He's got two more years left on his current deal.
Right.
They're not going to have to pay him. And so you start looking at, all right, this is the way you go about it. This is what Tony Ressler would like to do. The problem is, Mike, we've gone through two managerial changes with general managers, two different philosophies. We're on our third because we still don't know what Anse Sala is truly, what the mindset is and the philosophy is. So this is why we've been unable to do it. You had two different viewpoints of how to go about this. In the meanwhile, what are we doing? We're in the water. We're just treading water, man. We're just, playing every year.
Well, that's it. I mean, John Collins was partially effective. But at the end of the day, he just didn't bring home what you needed for this team. Should have moved on. That's the thing. There's so many mistakes along the lines when they should have moved on from John Collins, when he had maximum trade value, and they blew it there. Cam Reddish, unfortunately, that's on Schlenk's watch. I think everyone felt Cam Reddish was I remember Jay Billis saying he's probably got the biggest upside of anyone.
Oh, yeah.
Well, ain't no way.
No.
Never happened.
No.
Because the dude just don't love the game. Onyeka Okongwu, that's a great draft pick. Jalen Johnson, that's a great draft pick. You know, A.J. Griffin, sorry. I mean, I want to be politically correct. He flaked out.
Don't know what happened there.
So we've had some bad luck. And at the time, I think we all really thought those picks were on point.
The Collins deal, I will tell you, he had a trade and they wouldn't let him do it. So you can only do what your bosses allow you to do. And when the owner goes, we're not doing it, all you can do is go, okay.
And of course, DeAndre Hunter, the ultimate in frustration.
Yes.
Because we can debate what you should or shouldn't have done. They felt they're never going to get more value. Now, then don't turn around and don't keep the assets you acquired in that trade for DeAndre Hunter. Yeah. This offseason.
Well, that's the other part. You can't lose those pieces because your bench did get better. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dominic is behind the glass. He is our engineer in for Big O. And, of course, Day-Day, our executive producer. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
While we are talking about the Hawks, let's hear from our general manager, Anse Sala, talking about the opportunity he has with these first-round picks.
Yeah, I think the key for I think us is optionality. I think the two picks gives us that. There's different things we could do, but I do feel really comfortable with 13 and 22. I think there's going to be good players there.
Okay. And again, he is talking as if we assume we're keeping those picks and he's going to use them. Great. I don't know if that's going to actually happen. I think the bigger thing for me is when Anse Sala said yesterday that they are committed to having Trey here. Mike, I'm not saying he's fibbing. I'm not saying he's not telling the truth. I just think he's telling the truth right now.
Right.
Today.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the case next week.
You know, again, we mentioned talking to Stakey yesterday at the end of the show, and Stakey's of the opinion he thinks they're going to try to move Trey. And so, you know, again, it's poker face, and it'll be interesting because, you know, you could argue if you're the owner, I've never gotten out of the play-in round the last 4 years. Now, this is not on Trey's fault. This is a great debate. Trey's never had that all-star. He's had pieces, but he's never had the total package. 21, we talked about it yesterday, great depth, a lot of shooters. You know, you had a good structure. You had, you know, worker bees like Solomon Hill, things like that. And I haven't had any of that since. But now you're going to say, okay, I've been in the play-in game 4 years in a row, and now I'm going to give this guy a max contract that's going to be over $300 million.
Mm.
See, I can see both sides of it. And if I'm the owner, I might think it's time to blow it up.
Yeah.
Because I don't think a soft reset. I think, maybe you keep Jalen Johnson. Everything else is negotiable.
Well, you could easily say, you might not like this, but the core is Rishashe and his growth. Jalen Johnson, and Dyson Daniels. You could easily say those are the guys we're going to build around. Or you could say we love those guys and Trey makes everybody better and we just have to make a decision on whether or not we can win. And I say win, I'm talking about the big one. I'm not talking about just getting to the playoffs.
Right.
Can we win a championship with that? And if the answer is no, then, Mike, you probably should move on. Here's our general manager. This is what he said about Trey Young yesterday.
Yeah, we're locked in with Trey. And we talked last year, next season. We're just locked into next season, ready to move forward and be the best team that we could possibly be moving forward. And I think a lot of his leadership from last season went probably unnoticed to the common eye. Like, the way that he helped develop our young guys and make them better was significant. So, I mean, just continuing on with that and hopefully just making our team better.
Now, I will agree with him. Trey is a better leader than he was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm for that. Like, I would hope that he would grow in that way. It's never been about his play. He's always had game. It's more about the maturity and the other things that you need, Mike, when you're leading a team. You see that in SGA. You see how his teammates respond to him. And I said to you guys yesterday, that team is close, which is why I think they're probably going to, you know, stick around here and be a contender the next few years because those guys really like each other. I do agree with him on that. I don't know about just the being convinced. And this is just me. I mean, like, Mike, I may be completely wrong. 2 weeks from now, Trey's here, no trades. We've drafted our guys, and we're continuing to move forward. Okay, but I am just a little bit skeptical because of this financial decision. We're acting, not all. People are acting as if this is not a big deal. This is paying your quarterback with the Atlanta Falcons, and you better know he's the guy. If he's not, you got to really consider if you're going to give him, Brock Purdy, $50 million a season.
So it's kind of weird how we do the draft and then we do free agency. Free agency technically starts on July 6th. So you get heard about deals in place, trades are being made. But as far as actually signing free agents, there's a couple that, you know, we've talked about that makes some sense. It's kind of like that second tier. If you are strictly going to have to adhere to that $44 million, they still have the DeJounte trade marker, don't they?
They do. He talked about that. I mean, using that, it called, the exemption?
The trade exemption that we didn't use for John Collins. Remember me losing my mind on that a couple of years back? So we've got to get out of this rut. You've got it to me. In addition to, yes, what makes sense as far as the, you know, what does your half-court offense look like? What does your roster look like? To me, Carl, you got to signal to the fans you're serious about trying to win. I mean, what are we, as we said the other day about the Braves, we had that long conversation about, you know, why people are so passionate about this sport or that sport. Give me a sign that we're trying to win something here and we're going to try to make a move and not just be in this endless loop of mediocrity. Because that's what Trey's brand takes a hit. He doesn't get to make the Olympic team. You know, he's barely on the cusp of the All-Star team every year. That's why I think if he had his choice at some point, he's going to say, get me the hell out of here and opt out.
Yeah. And I think he's opting out anyway because these guys can get more money. 404-726-0929, you can chime in. One other thing we do want to mention, Steve Koonin joins the show on Fridays, Hawks CEO. Mike asked him last week, I was out, but he asked him about the approach to building a contender. And this is our CEO talking about that.
Well, I think the combination of draft, free agency, and trade are going to build our roster. There's no doubt about it. And we have, you know, we have a lot of people who would like to get our draft positions. We're getting a tremendous amount of call about the 13th pick and the 22nd pick. So there's great value there, which, again, gives us an opportunity to roster build because, let's be honest, rookies cost less money, which allow you to bring in and, you know, pay veterans more. So it's all a mosaic, and putting it together is happening as we speak.
And then, of course, if you're looking for a team which is looking to, you know, take a player and move him, whether they're looking at, like we just talked about, Boston. Boston's an example. Now, you want to just take those first, you know, as you said, 13th and 22nd, just trade them. Trade those picks, man.
Yeah.
And then maybe you find some Frankenstein-looking, you know, rim protector in the second round, you know, and maybe he catches on. Just a thought.
They have options. And I do think that Steve Koonin is telling the truth when it comes to there are people. Listen, the NBA, it's all about movement and value, just like with any draft. And so I do think they're getting those calls. It's whether or not they want to make a move. One other thing we do want to mention, and that is Atlanta United's match against Inter Miami is going to be rescheduled, as Miami is now going to play Paris Saint-Germain Sunday in the Atlanta Club World Cup. It's right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Right. So that's why that match is going to be rescheduled. But we do want to put that word out to Atlanta United fans. 17s, guys, know what the deal is, because I know a lot of people were looking forward, Mike, to seeing Messi. And we'll get that chance. But this is what's going on, and that's going to happen on Sunday.
And he was at, sorry to catch up, he was at Paris Saint-Germain for 2.5 years.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, he in between his time in Barcelona. So this would be kind of cool. Two of the biggest, and Inter Miami's now, with his presence, one of the biggest teams in the world, going up against the perennial powerhouse. Pretty cool.
All right, Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to join us, Odyssey MLB insider. We'll talk to him about all things that are going on, including this incredible run for Ronald Acuna, who now is playing the best baseball of anybody right now. There's not a better 28-game stretch for anybody this season as to when Ronald Acuna made his debut and came back in May. We'll talk to Tony Gwynn Jr. next. Coming up, find out what he said about this being his last year. It's on the way in about 10 minutes. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our man Tony Gwynn Jr. is joining us. He is our Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls presented by Grainger, guys. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Tony, man, good to have you back on the show. A lot going on in the world of Major League Baseball as we count down to the All-Star break. Of course, it's happening here in the ATL. And I want to start with our own Ronald Acuña Jr. Every time it seems like we ask you about the Braves, you say, hey, they're going to be all right. They're going to be all right. The only thing that's all right for me right now is that Acuña's carrying this team. And Tony, I don't know if we've seen a better stretch of 28 games for anybody in the majors since this guy made his debut back on May 23rd.
Yeah, man, he's an alien. You know, he's in that Fernando Tatis category. I mean, he is at the top of the chain right now. The way he's swinging the bat, and I mean, this is all coming after a second ACL tear, and it just doesn't seem like he's slowing down at all. His ability, for me, watching him, his ability to get into the best hitting position possible and get off his best swing on pitches away, in, up, down, it really doesn't matter, is elite. And I know I've told you guys that the Braves are bright. Even if the Braves are not going to be all right, I still don't see them selling. I don't see them moving any players. And so, you know, they're kind of stuck in this weird spot where they got a good nucleus of young players still that are still productive, but the team's not playing up to the standard that, you know, they've set. And that division, at least the two teams that are ahead of them, are better this year. And so it complicates things, but we do get to watch the Ronald Acuña show. There's no doubt.
Hey, man, we will get Jurickson and Profar to come back. Now, again, it's weird because of the suspension. He won't be eligible for the postseason, but you saw him, man. Can this guy hit the ground running for us?
Yes, he can. I think Jurickson is, you know, despite his suspension, has been, at least when he was in San Diego, had been a productive player every single time he was on the field. And it had looked different in each of those years. And so you get a player like Jurickson, I can tell you one thing. You're going to get a dude who has some fire that, you know, isn't really going to take very much from the other side. And there's an energy that I think comes along with that that guys kind of gravitate to and kind of can pick up. So although he won't be eligible for the playoffs, you can definitely get a guy like that back, and he can bring the type of energy that can kind of get a team rolling in the right direction. Because we all know that the Braves are as talented as anybody in the league, any team in the league. Sometimes you need a little kick in the rear end and some energy to kind of come in, and hopefully, you know, Jurickson can provide that.
We're talking with Tony Gwynn Jr., guys. He is our Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls, again, brought to you by our friends at Grainger. I was playing a lot of your sound bites last week on my national show because this thing with the Dodgers and the Padres is nuts. So rewind for me, because I'm listening to you and your partner discuss Tatis being hit. Do you feel like it was intentional? I know he's been hit a lot, but did you feel like that was intentional? And then what happened afterwards with the managers? I felt like the managers were going to go at it.
It's a very interesting kind of thing that took place. I personally do not think that the Dodgers hit any of the Padres on purpose.
Okay.
However, after two, three times, it doesn't matter what the intent is. There has to be protection for your guy, because if he feels like he's just going up there and teams have, you know, free will to attack him and hit him, regardless of what the intent is, a player can start to feel the type of way, especially if they don't see a response from their team. And that's not to say that Toddy would have, but I think Mike Shield is such a good manager and understands these things so much better than most. And this is all allegedly. I haven't talked to anybody that said it was done on purpose, but I certainly could understand why Mike and the Padres felt like they had to protect their guy. At some point, it doesn't become about intent. It's just about principle. You can't keep throwing up and in. And granted, whether you did it on purpose or not, a guy is getting hit with 96 plus. It doesn't feel good. Guys can get hurt. And so they're usually, for every action, there's usually a reaction. I thought everybody kind of did the right thing. And that includes Tatis and Otani, right? Because they could have escalated things and had it carry on much, much further. But they didn't. They were the pros. They took their base. They went on. I mean, Ohtani was over on our side of the dugout basically having a conversation with those guys, and it seemed like it was all good. So I thought that that situation, although, you know, the news of the day, I thought it was handled the way it was supposed to be handled in Major League Baseball.
The thing about Schilt, and we saw Mike Schilt up close and personal in 2019, Cardinals dropped 10 on us in Game 5 of the NLDS that year, and he went after Ronald Acuna because they didn't like Acuna in the showboat. Acuna was doing his thing. We love his swag. You know, Soto's got swag. Tatis has swag. I mean, is the mindset changing now in Major League Baseball, or is there, are guys still going to control it, guys like that?
I don't think – you know, I can't speak for the 2019 situation with Ronald, but none of that in terms of some a team or a manager feeling a type of way because of showboating. None of it was had anything to do with showboating. It was just Dodgers know they got to pitch in to Tati. If they don't, he can hurt them. And three times, different times, while they were trying to do that, he got hit. And so I don't think it had anything to do with, you know, Dave Roberts and Tati are and the Dodgers think that Tati might have been a showboat. I think they were just literally trying to pitch him as tough as possible to keep him as a non-factor. And they let a couple go. And that's fine. But there is going to be a reaction to that. And I think that's what we saw. I don't know that minds are changing. I think Major League Baseball is in a place now where I think it has become an accepted practice for guys to kind of do their thing. To show their personalities. I think for the most part, that is fair game. But that doesn't then mean that, you know, in the process of trying to get a guy out, you let a couple run in and a guy gets hit above the waist three different times, that there's not going to be a response. That's just, I think that is less to do with baseball. That's just sports in general. There's going to be a reaction to whatever action has taken place.
So, Tony, I've said this, Tony Gwynn Jr. joining us, guys, and being around and in clubhouses where these situations have played out. And they'll see the Dodgers again in August. And I think it's six games in like 10 days or something crazy like that.
It's same scenario we just had.
Okay.
Sure.
And I've always said, like, you knew something was going to go down because the clubhouse was always, it was tension. You know, like, if he gets hit again, it's going to be on. Like, we're going to be squabbing for real. And you just felt it. And I feel like going into this series in August, we got a long way. We got to get to the All-Star break. But that's the next time they see the Dodgers. And they get the Dodgers on the road. I'm talking about the Padres. And then they play the Dodgers at home. So even if it doesn't happen in L.A., my guess is August 22nd, 23rd, 24th, if something's going to go down, it's going to go down there because both of these teams are playoff teams, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, no, here's the deal. I think that scenario could very well play itself out and be exactly how you described it. But I think neither team will go in looking to get to that point.
Okay.
And I think Mike Schilt kind of mentioned it yesterday talking to the scrum. I think they expect it to be played tough like it was. Those were four really good games. The Dodgers ended up taking three of the four. But I don't think they want to get to a place where it was. And again, had Ohtani responded differently after he was the last one hit, we probably would be talking about a more definite scenario in which that was going to take place. But it didn't. They all kind of handled it right way. You move on. We took the last game. The Padres took the last game from the Dodgers. And so you go into the next series understanding that, yes, any one ball could escalate things, but I don't think that'll be the intention as they go into those series or not.
And by the way, real quick, for those who miss it, Ohtani is telling his teammates, the Dodgers, chill. I got hit.
Yeah.
Because his teammates, they were ready to go out on the field. And he's like, yo, it's okay. And everybody was like, all right, you sure? So go ahead.
Too often, especially now in this generation of baseball, guys don't know how to handle that, right? They're irritated. They just got hit. And I don't think they recognize in real time that their actions could didn't make this a lot worse. They could escalate. And I think what Ohtani did so well was he showed his teammates, look, this is kind of part of it. I'm sure they anticipated it after Tati got hit the first time. I'm sure, especially at that time, we didn't know if he had a broken hand or not. He was coming out of the game. And so I'm sure they anticipated it. And him kind of waving his teammates off, telling them to chill, I think changes how August can go now.
It is our man, Tony Gwynn Jr., guys, our Odyssey Baseball Insider. Back to the Braves. You said it to start the interview. We spoke with Alex Anthopoulos on Friday, and yeah, he wants to buy and he doesn't want to sell. So can you fix this team? If we just, Carl and I were just doing it off the top of our head. Don't really have a closer right now. Probably could use another setup, man. Yep. Need another starter, because since we last spoke, the latest surprise was Chris Sale cracking a rib. And then we will get Profar back, but we could maybe use some help at shortstop. I mean, can you do all of that, or just obviously one, two, or three and get the job done?
In a perfect world, yeah, you'd love to be able to get all of those pieces, but this is going to be a buyer's market to begin with. I mean, everybody feels like they're going to have a chance to get their foot into that door. And so, I think Alex will be able to 100% address some of those needs. It would take the perfect storm for him to be able to address all of them. So then you have to ask yourself, what are the most important ones to address, right? You're going to get Profar back, at least for the regular season. So you may, that in itself is almost like you're going to get a piece back, a trade back in some ways, right? And then the bullpen. I think we've kind of learned that, you know, especially if you are able to get into a postseason, how important that bullpen is. So probably address that, maybe a starter as well. But I just think it'll be very difficult to address all of them in a way that will move the needle the way that you want it to.
All right, before we let you go, I got to mention this. Tony Gwynn Jr., we love you. We loved your dad. And this is a crazy Jeopardy fact that I saw and was like, this is how good your dad was. Tony Gwynn Jr., your dad struck out 434 times in 20 years. During his 4 years of playing college basketball at San Diego State,
I saw this one.
He had 590 assists. So in 4 years of playing college basketball, he had more assists than strikeouts in his 20-year major league career. That's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And by the way,
you know, there's,
I mean, everybody was trying to get him out, right? I mean, everybody knew he was a great hitter. Everybody's trying to get him out. That is crazy, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many of those little Jeopardy-like, you know, facts that are out there now. I mean, that's one that I particularly draw. I think there's also one where he could go, I think, 0 for two seasons and still be a 300 lifetime hitter. I mean, obviously, my dad was extremely talented, but, you know, I think he worked his tail off to get to that level. And so, you know, he's right. Left us with some of these fun facts.
Right. No doubt. We got a few more weeks, obviously, before we get to the All-Star break. I'll save this for next time we speak, because I've always loved that time that, you know, the relationship your dad had with Ted Williams, especially that 99 All-Star game at Fenway. We'll get to that next time we chat.
Sounds good. I look forward to having that conversation. That's a fun one.
Oh, good stuff. Tony Gwynn Jr., man, take care. We appreciate you.
You guys take care.
You too. All right. And by the way, look, the reason why that Dodgers-Padres thing is interesting is both of those teams are playing with some fire. And Mike and I have been saying about our Braves.
Emotion.
We might, and I'm not saying again, we don't need a fight. But we need a spark, and this is why, whether the Profar thing, but both of those teams are playing with an edge, and the Dodgers are loaded.
And for us, it may be the Mets, it may be the Phillies it comes down to, but the Phillies, two of the last 3 years, they had our number, and they had more energy than we did. I mean, we looked flaccid. And to Carl and Tony's point, Padres and Dodgers are bringing the juice.
All right, find out what he said about this being his last year next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.